The Sci-Fodda Film Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Sci-Fodda Film Podcast. Andy Walker, and I am here partially. And I am joined by my son, as always. Hello, Scott.
That was very camp. Hello.
Hello, Jazz Hands.
Jazz Hands.
Yeah. Hello. So, how are you?
Yeah, getting over whatever this illness is. And
yeah.
See, this is the problem. For people that are living in the UK to listen to us, would understand, but we're not, as a country, designed for it to go really hot like it has been over the summer and then seems to have got very cold or very quickly. And yeah. It's just sort of, illness seems to be creeping up everywhere. And I don't know if anyone can tell, but my throat, it feels like someone's trying to rip it out of sandpaper at the moment. So it's one of the reasons why we haven't done a lot of this.
Yeah. Well, we've been missing for a few weeks.
Yes.
I also have not been well and have had spent a short period of time in hospital, but am now out and back home, resting and recuperating and trying to get back to some kind of whatever the hell normal is.
Yeah, as you can sort of tell for anyone that is looking, you can tell it's sort of getting bad because the beard and hair sort of gone everywhere for both of us. So this is the moment where we start looking very similar because of the fact that it's sort of...
Yeah.
So it's also sort of a good way of telling that it's coming into winter where we are because it's sort of end up, these are the winter coats.
Yeah. before we get into the reviews, this is a special edition. We will be reviewing two feature films, and we will also be doing an interview with the gentleman responsible for the making of those two films. We have decided that due to our ill health and everything, we're going to put a hold on the podcast from now until the new year. And then we will come back in the new year and let you know what's happening then. Yes, there you go. Okay, so should we get on with this then?
Yeah.
Right, so we were contacted by a gentleman called Brandon Reines, who we have done, we've reviewed some of his short films before.
Yes, we have.
We had two... feature films. Well, one's an anthology of short films and the other one is a feature film that he requested us to review before we got ill, actually.
Yes.
And I had completely forgotten. And he contacted me again and I said, yes, okay, but we'll do this as a kind of last hurrah for the year or whatever. Yeah. So that's what we're doing. So the first of these films, which is the anthology,
yes,
is called the Ezra and Gore Girl Horror Anthology. It's by Higher Universe Pictures. Director Brandon Reines. I'm not going to go into a lot of details about who's in it and all that kind of thing. So we will put links up to whatever we can and let you know so that you can look at it. So, as I say, this is a horror anthology. So it's just made up of lots of short stories, linked together by a story which is about a woman clearing out the basement of a house where her father used to live, and she finds a videotape which she watches, which has got the it's almost like a TV series of like four o'clock, 4 a.m. horror show. So it starts out almost like a kind of found footage film.
Yes.
And then it goes into the short stories. So we'll come to the overarching story and everything when we get there. But when we get to the end. But let's go through each one of the shorts in turn. We have actually reviewed a couple of these shorts before.
Yes.
So then we can kind of skim over those, but we'll get to them. So the very first of the short films is called The Painting of Ebony Shore. I mean, all of these films are short films, and that have been well made. All of their films are well made. They're kind of a good look to them, and they, you know, all that kind of thing. And the people know what they're doing, so it's kind of well done. This isn't a completely original idea.
No.
Idea of like a cursed painting.
Well, I was trying to figure out whether or not it was a cursed painting, because obviously the subject of the painting changes each person. It's not an original idea. I think it's a good concept for it, though.
Oh yeah, I think it's a really good story. It's really well put together. The idea is done in a very good way.
Yes.
And it's got some decent effects and things in it, and it works quite well.
Yeah, like I said, it's sort of good for all of it. It's sort of good cinematography the whole way through. What I like about it is, as much as it's an anthology for it, and we've gone through this and we've looked at a couple of other anthologies, and they've not all been that great.
Yeah.
But I like this because, it shows with horror stuff the fact that there is so much you can do with it.
Yeah,
it doesn't absolutely have to be slasher and gore all the time. It can be psychological horror. It can be like jump scares. And I like the fact that they've done that the whole way through this. As for this one, I really like the idea. And I love films like this because of the fact that it's that sort of, where did it begin? How did it get to that point? And what happens afterwards? Like, does it carry on? Does it stop? What's gone on? And I love the films that leave me like that.
No, I mean, I must admit, I think it's very well done. And as you say, there is this thing of like, how did it start? Why did it start?
Yeah.
What's it all about? Because it's never explained why these things are happening.
No.
Which is good. I like that. It's a very good one. I like that. Okay. The second short film is one that we've actually reviewed before, which is called Soccer Mum, or Soccer Mom, as the Americans have it. It's still great. I still love this film. It's got a great twist at the end, and it's just it reminds me so much of so many people I know, and the way they are with their kids. It's like things like when she stops and says to the camera, "Did you know you can't just drop your kids off at the side of the road and drive off and leave them there?"
Oh, it's quite funny actually, because I know a few people that have become new parents, or not new parents, but parents. Still newish parents, but their kids are a little bit older than newborns. So they're getting to that point where they're answering back and stuff like that. And I've spoken to them recently, and I've said before on this, is the fact that it gets to that point where you're like, you sort of understand where they come from at times.
Yeah.
And it's sort of that whole, just that one time you sit there and go, I wonder. And you're like, oh, okay. But it's sort of, but I like this because it's that sort of, what I like about it is it sort of shows the sort of the stress, I suppose, in a darker way of what any parent, be it single, couple parents, go through. See, everyone looks at it and goes, oh my God, you're doing an amazing job. But it's just like, yeah, but if you only knew.
Yeah.
And it's I like that.
I do. I like that as well. But I love this because it's got such great humour in it. The whole
thing's
done in such a great way. You can't help but laugh, even though it's not really something you should be laughing.
You sort of feel bad at times for like sort of having that moment of chuckling, or sort of even a sort of internal snigger, sort of laughing at it, or even at the end, you're sort of going, I'm sort of starting to sympathise, and then things get to the end, you're like, maybe I shouldn't have sympathised, but I still sort of do.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. The third short is called "I'm in Love with a Dead Girl."
Yes.
Again, it's a very well-made film, but it's incredibly odd, and it's weird because it was kind of getting to a point where I was starting to think this is just a bit too much, really. It's gone past the point of humor and past the point of like, okay, I can get the point that he's lonely and he needs to find somebody, so he himself a dead girl. But it was just getting to the point where I thought, no, I'm not sure about this. And then they have the kind of end and the odd twist at the end, which I wasn't quite expecting.
No, it's very weird. I don't, it's not many times I've watched a film where especially horror films, but I've sat there and I'm like, okay, this is a bit weird now. But yeah, I did. I sort of got to the point where I'm like, I sort of was all right, and I sort of that sort of, I don't know, almost nervous laughter when you do it when it started, and I was like, okay, yeah, all right. And then they started introducing, or they introduced her to the family, and I was like, okay, there's something weird going on here. And then I feel like then when they do the whole bit where obviously she's taken away or whatever, and the whole family is sitting, the family friends, and I'm like, okay, did I miss something? And then sort of realized that, and then when you hear stuff on the radio, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I didn't miss something. I clocked, and everyone was just sort of playing along, I suppose. But
Don't know.
it's very bizarre. It's a very bizarre way of doing it as well.
It was an interesting storyline, but it was a bit. It did leave me feeling a little bit unsure about whether it was. I don't know if I like that, but it was a bit weird.
Yeah, as I say, it's an odd way of, like, it's been the different ways that this idea has been done, but it's a unique way of doing this idea, and it's I was saying, it's very bizarre, and it's not the same. It's not many times where I've felt uneasy after a film, and like we've spoken about films that I should have been uneasy on watching that I haven't been, and it's all I sat there like, I don't know how to feel about this film.
No, it's a bit, yeah, it's a bit of an odd one. Now the next few are quite short. There's a few really short ones.
Yes.
So the fourth one is called My Shadow Is Trying to Kill Me, which is
Yeah.
it's very well made. It's a very interesting idea. And the effects I think were really well done. But it is again, it's just very odd. But it.
It's I started off watching this, and this is probably going to lead more into who I am. I've had the moments, sort of paranoid tendencies, and I sort of sat there, and obviously not so sinister, like my shadow is trying to kill me, but something like along them lines. And I've sat there, I was like, okay, I can see where this is going. It's going to be a sort of mental breakdown sort of thing. But the twist with it, and I was like, oh, okay, that's bizarre and that's creepy. And what happened next? And where's everything gone? It just sort of left me, and I was like, okay, this is bizarre as end, really now. It did, but it didn't help the fact that I have got paranoid tendencies, so I did sit there afterwards and then I don't really want to move.
It was the effects, I think, are really well done, and it was kind of like, is it just in her head? Is it real? What the hell's going on? Is she just having a breakdown? And she's saying, and
Yeah.
it was, yeah. So that was a strange one.
But what I like about it is the fact that it doesn't explain that really until sort of the last couple of minutes, or the last minute of it, really. You don't know whether or not it's all in her head, or if she's seeing things, or if it's true or whatever until the last minute. And I love the fact that does that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the fifth short is one of my favorite ones. It's called Ruby and the White Van. I
Yes.
think this is absolutely excellent. And it's, you see, there is a thing on every advert when you have washing powder and cleaning materials. They have a phrase that I've always said is the best advice anyone can ever give you, which is keep away from small children.
Yes.
And this really shows you why you should.
Yeah, it's almost what they're saying. It's them, that sort of factor. Yeah, don't you shouldn't get into strangers' vehicles, and it sort of This is sort of the opposite of thought that of maybe you shouldn't invite strange kids into your car because you
Absolutely.
just don't know. And I love the, but I love the sort of the links between them where it's just sort of play between of it carries on that what happened, what was she,
Yeah.
and I love the fact that it gives us sort of not a hint, but like sort of a joking fact about what certain things can be, and it's just like. But I, again, I sat there and I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be dark because of the way that it was starting off. And then it twisted, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's not what I was expecting.
The one thing that I thought was great there, because it clicked something in my head to make me go, oh, that could be an interesting story, was when they were saying about the two people, Ezra and Gorgo
Yeah.
introducing these short films, when they turn and say, what do you think she was? And he said she was a were-lion,
Yeah, I
which
was
is
the
like,
thing.
what?
Yeah, it was like, so they did all that, and like, where line? I was like, oh, that's a cool idea. You obviously, I know there's cat people out on there that do like the cat people sort of thing, but they all seem to be domestic cats, but never thought about a were lion. That'd
We're
be
lying.
cool.
Okay, then we got another really short one, which is very, again, a bit odd. It's kind of haunted. It's called Bouquet of Decay. Again, very short
Yeah.
one, but it's obviously about being haunted by
Something.
somebody for some reason, and there's nothing explained, but it is a little bit unnerving. And well, not unnerving, it's just a little bit kind of like you go, oh, that's a bit weird.
It's
That would be odd if something like that happened.
very bizarre. Obviously, for me, it just. It was a bit weird because you sort of I know it's just sort of that sort of feeling that people deal with grief differently and some people sort of blame themselves for things and whether or not that's the story behind it or what, but yeah, it's very weird to sort of have them have that sort of vision where she's sitting there driving, obviously looking like she's trying to grieve or something, but still see what was going on, and it's yeah, it's very creepy, and I do love the fact that it doesn't explain much.
No,
It's very like it ends, you're like, what, like, sort of left you wanting more.
the seventh one is another short one. It's called Haunting the Apartment. I really like this because I like the idea because it's a bit like it's like condensing the whole of oh God, what's it called? The one with Bruce Willis in
Six cents.
The Sixth Sense. Yeah, it's like if they condense the whole of The Sixth Sense into kind of like 30 seconds, because it
Yeah.
is all about like, do dead people know that they're dead?
Yeah.
You
And it's just, I love that because it's, you sort of start twigging what's going on, but it's just, I love the fact that it is perfectly that. It's just the fact that it's sort of, well, do they know that this has gone on or even like, would they remember? And it's
Yeah.
just,
And
I love the way it's done.
it's like, is it only when they get when they're shown the fact that they are dead that they
Yeah.
realize it, and they it has an effect on them?
Yeah.
It's very cleverly done. But I liked it. I thought it was very, very good. The eighth one is called Bloodbath,
Yes.
which is it's a very interesting idea. It kind of takes you back to the kind of Countess Dracula thing, of the fact that she had to bathe in the blood of
Yeah.
it was supposedly a female virgin, but where are you going to find one of them these days? Certainly not in Essex. It goes back to that kind of thing that you kind of like keeping young by doing that. And I thought the makeup was really good,
Yeah,
the makeup effects.
I was gonna say the makeup effects and the visual effects on it was amazing, especially the transition. Obviously, I know it's probably edited or whatever, but that
Yeah.
probably is edited. But that transition between where she ducks her head under the water or under the blood wall or wherever it was and comes up
Yeah.
and it's all gone, I thought it was very well done. And I think this is, you can see sort of the decay, I like the fact you can see the decay of it. And then I was wondering, like, sort of sitting there and had it in my head until it showed it, and I thought, was worried about what people would say, what he would see, and then Well, she goes, "Oh yeah, I'll be there." And I'm like, "Okay, how's this gonna work?" And then when they showed it, I was like, "Oh, that's not what I was expecting." But it's very, very, very well done.
It
And
is.
I love the makeup on it.
Absolutely. It was really well done. I would say I really like that idea, that whole thing. Okay, the ninth one is a which I was confused about. It's called London Fog. It's a bit odd. It's very short, and I wasn't sure about it because it had nothing to do with London or
Or
fog.
fog. Yeah.
I was a bit unsure of what that was all about, to be honest.
Yeah.
And the whole thing just seemed, it was just a bit kind of like, didn't know what was happening, and then it happened, and then it was like, oh, okay.
It's very confusing. I did sit there afterwards for a little bit, and I was like, "So what's that got to do?" Okay. I don't know.
But you know, hey, you know,
Again,
probably.
as I said, the shooting of it and the cinematography of it was amazing. It's just a
Absolutely.
very confusing film.
The 10th one is one that we've done before, which is called I'm Not a Robot, which is still, again, a still good film. And it's another one of those things. Not only do dead people know that they're dead, but do robots, do androids know that they're androids? Or if
There is
they
that,
don't
yes.
know, they're not human.
Yes.
So that's a, you know, I mean, that's part of the thing for Blade Runner and that, isn't it? It's sort of, you know.
It's the same. It's not an original idea, but it's that whole idea of, it makes you think sort of, and if they're told, do they know? Right? Do they know unless they're told, and sort of what would happen when they found out as well if they didn't already know? And I like the fact that it's still that question that a lot of people ask is like, if you have artificial intelligence, does it know that it's artificial intelligence?
What I like about the ones that we've done before, that we've what that are in this, is the fact that they still look good.
Yes.
Still, you know, it's not like we do, and a lot of them are not ones that we did sort of like only 6 months ago or something. They're ones we did like last year or
It's sad.
before.
The ones we've done it, and it's the fact that it's not the fact that it doesn't fit into the film, whatever.
No.
It's like it was a look out of place or whatever. It fits very well.
Oh yeah, they all work really, really well. I like that. So after that, the 11th one is called Reincarnate. I thought this was a really good and really great idea. The idea of a, it's odd though, the idea of a father being reincarnated, or is it just his memories being reincarnated in the son?
Well, I was trying to work this out because of the fact that they were saying it was 7 years ago, but the boy was eight. So it must have been the memories or the possession. I don't know, but it's.
But it was very well done. I mean, that child was a really good actor. I mean, which is quite worrying.
It's like we said before, when it comes to a lot of films that we've done when there's been children in it, it's amazing sometimes to see what they can do, but it's slightly worrying the fact that a lot of them do it with such ease. Again, this goes back to again the child in the van one. The fact that the girl got out of the van covered in blood and just happily smiled and walked off. Sort of okay. And it's sort of a bit worrying.
I really, and again, so I really like that. I thought that was a really good one. The 12th short is called The Hunger, and I liked this because I liked the fact that it wasn't really explained properly. And it's just kind of like, is it a coven of witches? Is it something else? Is it a curse of some kind? Is it, you know? But it was a really good, really well done. I like the storyline. I like the way it was put together, and the look of it and everything. And it just worked really well.
I said it left a lot more questions in it than I had at the beginning, and I like the fact that you've done it. It's not fully explained, so makes me want me to look into it more. And I said I love it. It's again the visual effects to it, and the camera, like the camera angles and shots, and cinematography and all that. But what I liked is the sort of the confusion that they make in it is not obvious straight away what's going on, and it's sort of the confusion the whole way through until the end, where you get a little bit of an answer, but again, it's not fully
It's still not
explained.
com yeah, it's still not completely explained, no.
No.
The 13th one is called The Telemarketer. Now, I'm sure I've seen this before. I don't think we reviewed it before, though. But strangely, I really like this film because I think 90% of people have worked in a job that they feel is a complete waste of their time, that they don't want to do, and they would give anything to get out of doing it. Now, this guy does it in the ultimate way by,
Well, yeah.
he still can't get out of it.
Yeah,
He's,
he does it in the way that I think a lot of people, especially people in very, very dead-end jobs and are working but still not getting by, has sort of got to the point of like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Have got to that point. But he gets there and he does. But again, it seems almost like he's brought back to there just to work.
It's kind of like a sort of like he's working in purgatory. It's kind of like that whole thing
Oh,
of like
it's that
no matter
whole
what he does,
phrase.
he can't get out of this job every day.
Yeah, it's sort of the phrase, isn't it? It's the fact that even if you're dead, you're still going to call in for work. You're still going to be
Yeah.
like, still not turn up for work. And
Yeah.
it's just sort of, I love the fact. And again, I think this is, it shows as well what I liked about it is it showed the sort of, you can be happy and jolly and want to work, but if it's a job you don't enjoy,
Yeah.
job you don't have no fun in or whatever, it is just going to get you down to the point where you're like, I don't want to be there. No matter
Yeah.
how much it's like paying wages or whatever, if you don't enjoy yourself, then you're not going to like your job.
Yeah, absolutely. Now then we've got the 14th one, which is called Under the Bed. Again, it's another sh quite short one. I think this is a great twist on a
Yes.
usual story of like a child having demons under the bed,
Yeah.
not just children have demons under the bed.
And I think it's, again, it's just, I think it's a good story that's not an original story, but it's an original way of telling it. Like not a lot of people do the whole demons under the child's bed, but never
Yeah.
the fact that it goes to the adults, and I liked that because it was the whole, it was again the leaving you of what happened
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
leaving you with questions that are unanswered, and I love films that do that.
The 15th one is called The Getch. Now, I can't remember if we actually reviewed this, but I know I've seen it. I've definitely watched it. I think we did review it, but I think it was quite a while ago.
I don't know. It's getting to the point now. We've watched so many.
Yeah, no, I know. But I like this. I think it's an interesting idea. What I like about this is it's kind of like it's the when the Getch, the demon thing, explains why it's got to do something by saying, well, that's what I am. I'm a Getch. That's what Getches do. I can't not do it because that's my what my entire meaning of life is. And so I've got to kill someone. It's as simple as that.
And it's sort of the whole thing of if like they've been given a name, is this what they've got to do? And if they didn't, then they wouldn't be who they are. And
Yeah.
it's just, I like the fact that they put this in. And it's because it's there's so many times where I've watched horror films and people are like, well, why would they be doing that? It's like, because that's who they are,
Yeah.
that's what they are, that's
Yeah.
the person, the demon, whatever, that's what they are. And I like the fact that this is it, they do explain that in their own way in this one.
Yeah, definitely. And I just think it's really well done as well. I like the sort of mask makeup thing that they use.
Oh yeah, that's
It's
amazing.
very good. And it's very well done. Now, after this one, there's a kind of breaking down of the fourth wall. There's a behind the scenes bit of the TV show in which we see Ezra and Gorgel. And interesting, it's interesting and it's well done and it's quite strange, but it's I quite liked it, but I'm not sure. I don't know, I think it might have worked It's almost like having two overarching stories in the same anthology.
Yeah, I think if they'd done it without the whole some without the story of someone watching the video, so you were seeing it as the whole story behind like the TV series being recorded or whatever, then it might have been all done it just as the person watching it. But I think, yeah, having that overlap of both, it does get a bit confusing.
It's a little bit odd, but it was
Yeah.
good. Again, it's good. And again, the effects in it are well done. The
The
I'll give
effect,
them
the editing's
everything
done
is.
very well as well.
Yes, he's done really well. The whole thing's done really well. So then we go back to the shorts again, and to the 16th one, which is called Daddy's Coming Home.
Yeah.
Very strange, but I want to know more.
Yeah, again, it's sort of, it was that twist because I was expecting something quite sinister. Oh, I'll rephrase it. I was expecting something worse than what happened, but yeah, it was very bizarre.
But it's just an interesting thing. It's like sort of the way they the two children are talking in it at the beginning, the woman isn't necessarily their mother,
No.
even though she insists on them calling her mother.
Yeah.
So is the bloke their dad, or is he someone else? And where are their real parents, or where's
It's
the
that
mother?
it. I do agree. It just left me with so many questions, and I was like, I don't understand.
I'd like to see that made into a bigger movie, just
Yes.
work out what's going on there. So then we kind of have the overarching storyline, which gets revealed at the end, and that, which has got a good twist at the end of it.
Yeah.
Got a decent twist at the end of it, and I think it worked really well. The end of the film worked really well, and I think as an overarching story, it was okay. I mean, it only, there were a couple of bits where all you saw was her watching the video. There were a couple of bits where she actually did things or said things and things like that, which was pretty cool because you then had each episode of the show, which is each story. You had the introduction by the two characters on the show,
Yeah.
Ezra and Gorgil, and I think all of that worked really well. I mean, yeah, that bit where they go behind the scenes of the making of the TV show was a bit of a, I don't know, it kind of made it jump a bit, but I think even that was done really well. And I think altogether, as a film, as an anthology, it works really well because all of the
Yeah.
stories are good in themselves. And they all kind of work together well.
Yeah, they do, and I think it's very, very well done, and I think it even works. It works well with the thing with the placing of the films. I think, I honestly thinking about it, if it had been done a different way around, I don't think it would have worked as well. Having them jump where they did sort of skipped it along further, so it didn't feel like it was dragging just at the right time. I agree
Absolutely.
with you about the fact that the behind the scenes bit, it was a bit confusing, but it was done very well. And I just, again, all of it, I just loved. And I think it was a very, very good film
Absolutely.
overall.
I agree. Okay, so the second film is called Grotesque. Again, Higher Universe Pictures, directed by Brandon Rhines. Now, this is a full feature film, not an anthology or anything of that ilk. Now, I haven't sort of read anything about synopses or anything for these films beforehand or anything, so I've got nothing to say in the way of that sort of stuff. But before watching this, my biggest question was, given what we've seen, can a group that make really good and some great short films make a full-length feature that works as well?
Yeah, I do agree with you. I had that in my head to sort of this I'm gonna lie whether or not it was gonna work. And I don't know, what did you think if you did both first?
Well, I mean, the production quality and the look of the film is just as good as all of their short films.
Yeah.
I think it kind of got a bit slow at one point. It got a bit so it felt like it was dragging a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it clicked up a pace and it picked up again and it was better again. I think, I don't know whereabouts it is, but there's a section in the middle which just seemed like they were, I know that what they were trying to do, they're constantly trying to state the fact that she is put down by everybody. But it kind of felt like they were going over the same thing over and over again, but it felt like it was slowing everything down. And then she has surgery, and after that, I think it picked up because then the revenge story starts, and the humor comes back into it. There was a bit of humor in the first part, and there was the humor comes back in even more at the end, in the last half. And I think that last half is really good.
Yeah, I do agree. He sort of, it was over, not from, I'm gonna say overdone, but it was sort of, I don't think it needed to be as long with the whole being picked on and the whole feeling, making her feel down. We get the fact that happened, and it happens every day. But what I liked about it is the fact it's almost the comedy aspects of what happened after she had the surgery. But what I like is the fact that everyone died in a different way. There is no same death to it at all, and I like the certain aspects, like the first two she does, and then bumps into the guy, and he's like sort of really apologetic for the fact that he's bumped into her. And I love the fact that I love just all of it, really. And I do agree with you, the sort of the last sort of half an hour of it was just the funnier bits of it.
It was brilliant. I mean, the bit where she meets this guy who's one of her music idols, who sort of like she, basically spurned her and all that sort of thing, and she ends up playing golf with his balls. I think it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Just think it's amazing. I did sit there because I sat there for a bit, and I was like, when did the first chat, I'm like, how was she hitting? And it's only when you actually see her, but I'm like, oh, okay, but I just like it. I love the whole. It's that whole sort of the thing about it as well is the fact that you can sort of forgive, not even forget. You can forget things that have gone on in the past, but it always everything, every word, every word someone said to you, every put down, every upbeat, whatever, is always gonna mold who you become.
Absolutely.
And
And
the fact
I
that
like
this happens from go she goes back to someone from when she was like 8th grade, so that's what's teenage years, probably
well,
before then.
earlier, yeah.
Yeah, so
The
it's
thing I love is the fact that it's kind of like, it's like when she goes into the bit, she goes into the cabin, and she's going to kill one of the people she works with, and she says to all the others, "Oh, you're all right. I don't, I've never had a problem with you. You guys could go." And so they do, and just
It's the
leave it and
things
get on
that
with it.
they're all having that conversation, and it's sort of the fact that she comes in, and like the person she's chasing comes in, and it's a sort of even her face is like, "You can't do this to me." She's like, "This is why you shouldn't be mean to people." It's all the whole point of trying to get along with everyone. Not obviously a gunner, you can't all the time,
I
but.
will say I love the mask. I thought the mask was quite good, and I did like the effect. You only saw it a couple of times, but the effect of her having had her nose removed was
Yes.
very good. Now, what I
I
will
was.
say is there were a couple of places in the first half when she had this prosthetic nose on, where you could see is a little bit rough around the edges, the join of the nose and that sort of thing. And it kind of detracted a bit, but it not enough. You could ignore it.
Yeah,
You could
saying this, I do agree. It sort of, it was a bit obvious to tell in certain places, but there was enough going on for it not to distract away from the film.
yeah.
But again, the
But
rest of the makeup, though, like when you do see what wasn't left, I suppose, is the fact that he's just sort of sitting there, like, well, that is very, very well done.
absolutely, yeah. And I mean, the end of it was okay. It wasn't a complete surprise, what I love, and I will say this, what I love is the song at the end. The song at the end is absolutely brilliant. Such a great song, and I want to see if I can find a copy of it somewhere, because it's just a great song, and it's
What I loved about this as well is the fact that it was getting to that point where, while that is the sort of the bits through it is sort of broke that sort of that fourth wall, I suppose, where it was trying to make it so it wasn't a film. Like she throws the knife at the girl, and it sort of just hits her hand first, and she looked at it and goes, "Well, normally works in the movies." And it's sort of when she's got like, slow motion running down the beach and then falls over, and I'm like, I've seen people do that, and it's just. As I said, I love them little small bits that have been added to it.
I also like the things like she meets the homeless woman who helps her, but gives her this terps or whatever, a mess or something to drink. But then helps her, and she says about the fact that her brother is on the run for shooting a cop, and then later on she gets picked up by this guy in a truck. She says, he says, "Oh, I know who you are. You're all over the news." And he said, "But I shot a cop, so don't judge me." And I thought, "Oh, it's the woman's brother, obviously."
It's just what I liked about it is the odd little humor effects of sort of like when she's talking to the homeless people, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we're here for drugs," and everyone goes like, "Just because of the economy." It's like there are people out there. I love that the whole sort of effect of that, but it's just the fact that it's sort of everyone judges people based on well, a lot of people still do judge people on what they look like, not who they are. And the fact
Absolutely.
that they did do it, like she's gone, "Oh, I've just told you I've done all this," and they're like, "And?" Like we've seen worse, we've done worse, we've. It's just, and I like this, I love this film. I love films at the moment, especially at the moment, that are horror comedy sort of aspect, and this pulls it off very well.
It does pull it off very well. It's got the same sort of humor and everything as they do in their short movies, and the same good looks and the same effects and that they have in them as well. And it works. It does work really well. It's a little bit slow in the middle, but it does work. It does work. Okay, so now we're going to have an interview with Brandon Rhinus, and like that. So we are joined now by Brandon Rhinus, the maker of the two films that we reviewed, the Ezra and Gore Girl horror anthology and Grotesque. Hello, Brandon. Hiya.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being on. Now we watched both of these films with great interest. The first one, the anthology, we noticed that there are a couple of films, a couple of the short films in there that we've actually reviewed before.
Yes, there are.
But it's good to watch them again anyway. So what made you decide to do an anthology of your short films in that sort of way?
I've liked other anthology shows, even things like Tales from the Crypt, those kind of shows, Creep Show. I've always kind of liked them. And, in the back of my mind, I've always wanted to do one. And then kind of recently, I've been doing the short horror films for long enough that I kind of calculated it. And it's like, I got like an hour's worth of short films. So if I added a wraparound story to it that was, 20 minutes, half hour, I got a feature length anthology movie. So I just like, you know what? I'm gonna, took a while to kind of come up with a concept for the wraparound story. I wanted to do something kind of original and interesting, and then kind of just thread all the shorts in there. And it's basically another, just a way to get my short films out there in a different format.
I mean, we did like it. We did I don't think there weren't any of the short films we didn't like. There were a couple we weren't a bit sure of because they were a bit odd. And we weren't sure if we understood them completely, but it was it's very well done. I did like the inclusion of the two of the making it into like a late night or early morning sort of like horror show with the two presenters. That was quite clever. Was that were they based on anybody in particular or?
Not really. I mean, there is obviously like the kind of Elvira influence you can kind of see. But other than that, I just kind of came up with it and just seemed like the names were catchy. And yeah, it was kind of funny because I was trying to write it in my apartment here, and there was like some construction going on around the apartment, and it was so loud and it was frustrating. So I was like, you know what? So I was having trouble kind of coming up with stuff to write for them. So I went and I checked into a hotel just down the street for 2 days where I could sit quietly, and I didn't even bring my phone. I had like no connection to the outside world, and I just spent the time just writing, and I wrote the entire wraparound story there. And you'll kind of like, once the idea started coming, it came fast. And then I just kind of came up with the idea of, you know, instead of just them being the host, we kind of go behind the scenes and we see them as real people. And that kind of ties into the whole story too. So I've actually been quite surprised at how many people like those two characters, and people are asking me, you know, if there's going to be more movies with them. And so now I'm thinking of, you know, they could just star in their own movie. So I'll add that to my slate of things to do, because they are a funny couple.
Oh yeah, they work really well together. We were a little bit unsure about the whole thing. Were you kind of break down the thing of going behind the scenes for them and that kind of thing? It seemed to call, I don't know, it almost like caused a bit of a jump in the whole continuity of it, but then it kind of comes back. So
it does kind of like throw it off. I don't think people are really expecting it to go that way. It kind of right at the tail end there, it all of a sudden goes off in a different direction, which is kind of what I intended to do. It's, some people might find it jarring, but, you know, kind of the point was that it looks like this is some old show from the 70s or the 80s or something, but it's actually modern day, made to look like that. And it's, I think it's kind of open to interpretation, but my interpretation is that just like whatever kind of evil is involved in this, it kind of basically transcends the television, and somehow, you know, the main character, Natalie, who's been watching all these films and getting obsessed, all of a sudden there's this kind of a break between her, and there's like a psychic connection between her and the TV show. And then so Gore Girl eventually hunts her down and kills her, kind of thing. So,
yeah. I mean, that is clever the way you bring it back so it connects together again. That is very clever. I did like that. The short films now, the ones that we hadn't done before. We did like a lot of those. I must say that my favourite of all of them is possibly one of the shortest ones of all, which is Ruby and the White Van. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, a lot of people reference that as the kind of their favourite, or the one they kind of remember most. It was actually my roommate Adam, who was like the co-creator of the Higher Universe company with me. That was actually his idea. Because it was, you know, a few years ago, we did what we called Horror Day, where we shot five really short horror films in one day. That was one of them. And so while, you know, I kind of pitched that idea to him, and he told me this idea he had. I can't remember if he came up with the name Ruby or if I did, but yeah, his whole thing was just that very simple setup. And so we went out and shot it, and then we had plans to do more. The little girl in it wanted to do more. But of course, time goes by, and you know, all of a sudden now she's, you know, 13 and you know, twice as tall, and it just kind of wouldn't work anymore. So so that might end up being the only one that was ever made, but it's definitely impactful.
But I mean, you know, I've said this before a couple of times on other short films we've seen with kids in them, and all that. I don't know whether or not it's something to do with the way you guys make films or anything, but it seems to be more that horror films, especially with little kids in them, like the age that she is, terrifying a lot more, because it's that sort of twist in the way that she comes out grinning from ear to ear, terrified the life out of me for a start, because I know kids that are that age, and it's almost that sort of sinister smile when you see it, and you're like, you've been up to something, and seeing that on her with the look that she had, it added to the atmosphere. And I agree with that. It's one of the standout films on this that stood out so much for me.
Yeah, exactly. I think it might have something to do with, you know, maybe you have the origins kind of in The Exorcist, where it's just a little kid who appears innocent, but they're not. And it's kind of, I mean, you know, you would think, you say, if you had like a, you know, 6 foot tall, tough looking guy, somehow it wouldn't be as scary. It's just because, you know, you kind of would expect them to be scary. It just doesn't work. It's just the kind of, you know, opposing kind of forces of someone who appears so innocent that's absolutely evil. It makes it more memorable, and it kind of makes it scarier. Like, you know, the Children of the Corn, there's so many horror movies based around killer kids, you know, Village of the Damned, and they work for that reason, is that this shouldn't be scary, but it just is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's quite a few. I mean, you've got a section in the middle there with really short films. And what I found interesting, we were saying, is that it's not like all of these films are of the same type. You've got ones in there that are very psychological, ones that are very slashery, ones that are very kind of like just weird, just odd, and you kind of look at it and go, that's a bit unsettling, it's a bit strange. Was there a specific reason for choosing these specific films and putting them in the order that you did?
I don't think there's a reason to pick it. It's basically all the films that I've made. There's a few in there that I didn't make myself, that I wrote the script for and someone else directed them. And I think there was two that someone else wrote and directed, but I was like involved with. Okay. So if you look at the credits, you might even be able to figure it out, because there's a couple that are like very weird. Mm. That it's like, that's not really, you can tell it's not my style if you watch my other films.
I mean, one of the really short ones that was a Bouquet of Decay.
Yeah, that was one of them that I didn't write, and I don't quite get it either. It's just
it is nice to know that we didn't miss something, and if people that were involved in it didn't quite understand it.
I think the one that we kind of had the hardest thing with it was it called London Fog.
Yeah, that's the other one. Those are the two ones that were. I don't really consider mine, because someone else, Kristen Breitkreitz, kind of wrote and directed them.
I mean, it was an interesting little piece,
yeah.
little film, but we couldn't work out why it was called London Fog.
Yeah, I think when that was part of Horror Day, me and Kristen partnered and made those five, and she did two of them herself. I did the other three, and I think she told me the reason she called it London Fog. I just can't remember what the reason was. There might have been a good, or it might have just been, it just sounded like a cool title. This has nothing to do with the story. I can't remember, but I did kind of hesitate to put those in there, because I don't really consider them like my stories, but have the similar cast and stuff. So I put them in.
But they are interesting in their own way. They're kind of like, they make you look and go, well, what's going on here? What's that about? Yeah. Okay. Which I like that sort of thing. Something that makes you question it a bit.
Yeah.
But we were saying about one of the things we said about it was a kind of thing with I'm Not a Robot, and which we reviewed before, and Haunting the Apartment. Which is, we were saying about the fact that it's like this thing of like with Haunting the Apartment, it's a bit like The Sixth Sense. You know, did dead people know they're dead?
Yeah.
And with I'm Not a Robot, it's the same sort of thing. You know, do androids know that they're androids? There's a kind of similarity between those two, which works well. Well, I can't think of the other ones we liked.
So I know the other one we liked, it was just, we were trying to figure out the timeline, and it's because of the fact that it was just me being mathematics and stuff like that. It's the is it Reincarnated?
Oh, Reincarnate.
Reincarnate, with the boy being 8, but his father was sort of murdered 7 years ago. Was it meant to be like him being reincarnated, or just the memories, or what? Because it was the same. Really enjoyed it, but it sort of kind of like, is it meant to be him as a reincarnation, or as a possession, or is it just his memories, or?
I think he actually is reincarnated. The dad was killed like right before the kid was born. The memory, it took 8 years before the memory started coming back, so it's only now. And then of course when you overheard the mom's conversation, that's kind of what really triggered it. You put two and two together.
I mean that was very good. And again, it's another one where you know you got an amazing performance out of a young child there.
Yeah. Yeah, he was he was very small at the time, and I remember at the end where he's holding the axe, we wanted him to like lift up the axe to pretend like he's about to hit the mom, but the axe is too heavy for him. So he had that's why he's kind of holding it up so high, because I never expected that. But he's actually, I don't know how old he is now, but he's I think a teenager. And there was a movie filmed here, a bigger budget movie that I wrote the script for, called Chasing Midnight, and he plays one of the characters in there. So it's kind of good to see
Oh,
that he's
cool.
actually followed this career and continue to get roles, and hopefully he's going places.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. One of the ones that kind of struck me was the telemarketer.
Oh yeah.
I've done some dinning office jobs and things in my time.
Yeah.
But that whole thing of it kind of like being, it's almost like sort of purgatory, that thing of you're never going to escape that
yeah.
job.
Yeah, I've worked jobs like that too. And, you know, just the days go by so slowly, just like it seems like it's never going to end. So I just kind of took that to the extreme. And it's like, yeah, what if it did just never end? And it's
yeah.
just, you know, you could leave, but as soon as you leave, you walk right back in. You could kill yourself and you just walk right back in, and just like there's no way out. And, you know, it's definitely not a fun job. That's actually one of the ones that was made. I think it's the only one that was not made in Canada. It was shot in Texas, I believe. I just wrote the script for it, and Jeremy the Decker, the director, made it down there and did quite a wonderful job.
Yeah. I think that you were saying that the films all work really well together. You know, work individually and they all work well together. And the overarching story works well as well. The one we really, the last one, Daddy's Coming Home. For me,
yeah.
I would love to see that expanded into something bigger because I want to know what that's all about.
Yeah. I have some sort of plans to turn it into a feature, but.
Because there are so many layers going on there that you just kind of like, well, what is this? What's happening? What is this situation?
Yeah, I'd say I watched both of the films on the same day, but I rewatched the end of the last one just to watch that one again. And it's, I found myself realizing that I watched it the first time and I was like, okay, yeah, that left me with questions. And I thought, I need to go back because I think I missed that. So I rewatched it and I was like, okay, that's not answered that, but it's also given me more questions because I've noticed something else. And it's sort of, I realized that I watched it three times and I was left with more questions after each time of watching it because I was like, I didn't pick that up the first time, or that bit, or that bit. And it's just, it's so, like I said, it's so many layers to it and there's so much information that's very easily missed. And I think it's so well hidden in certain bits because if you're not listening, you don't hear them say about calling the kids calling her mum straight away because her getting angry about it, or the fact that it's sort of like, I didn't realize until my dad pointed out to me when we were talking about it that whether or not he was actually their dad or if he was someone else. And I sat there with like, it didn't tweak for me until afterwards. And I was like, that's why I agree with it. It's so much information that I missed and have to think about over and over again. And I'm saying, I agree. I would love to see what happens.
Yeah. One of these days I get people asking that all the time. I got kind of too many projects on the go now, but that's always one in the back of my mind that I think would be it would make a very good, like, full length horror movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know what happens before and after. And you know, it's a great little setup, and it's kind of like, just as you say, leaves so many questions, and it's really cool. Really like that. So yeah, we really like that. The anthology is really good. Then the second one, Grotesque. Now, I was saying, I said in our review that before I watched this, my big question before I even started watching a thing at all was, you make some really good, some great short films, but would you be able to transfer that into making a full-length feature? Because it's a completely different animal.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think you did really well. It's I mean, the production quality and the look of it and everything like that is as good in this as it is in any of your short films, and it's always good. My only thing with it was there was a section of it where you were kind of reinforcing the whole thing about her being put down by everyone, that it kind of seemed to slow down a bit. And it was just getting to a point where I was thinking, this is getting a bit monotonous with this whole thing. And then it changed. So it, it it kind of works. Yeah, that was the only thing I would say. That there's just one point in the middle where I was thinking, okay, can we move on from this? Because I get now that she's being put down by everybody all the time, and that she, you know. And then it kind of moved on from that. So it kind of picked up again. And I love the last half of the film is absolutely brilliant. The whole revenge thing and all of the deaths and the humour and the just the characterizations and everything, brilliant.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was kind of one of the things we discussed. Like, I've heard other people kind of say that is, you know, like the first part of the movie is too slow, but then, like, there's other people that find it hilarious, and there's some people watched it, you know, especially non-horror fans, where they like all the funny stuff at the beginning,
yeah,
and then when it turns slasher, they don't like it so much. So obviously we can't please everyone, and the movie is more of a slasher, so obviously the killing is a major part of it, and there were some stuff that we cut out. It would have been even longer, and there's a few things in there that I was gonna cut, but I was like, yeah, you know what? Like, it's still amusing, I think. And, you know, we just finished filming principal photography on Grotesque 2. And a lot of it's the same thing as, like, we're kind of debating, is the setup too long? But, you know, some of our team, they're saying, like, it is Mildred's story. It's not just a slasher movie where you could throw any killer in there.
Yeah.
So if people aren't interested in seeing Mildred's life, then they're just not going to be a fan of the movie anyway. So we do have to have some of that setup in there where you're seeing a bit more of the story, as long as once it kicks in, it's like, you know, if we went the whole movie and you just never had a satisfying part, you know, you want to see, okay, eventually she's going to go and slaughter everyone, and then it'll make the whole thing worthwhile. So, yeah, that's just something we always had in the back of our mind. It's like, yeah, some people are going to find it too slow, some people won't, and we just kind of have to use our best judgment for it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I've got to ask, we were talking about it. Now, I've seen a lot of films where a lot of people die in different ways. This one seems to have almost an individuality for every person that dies. Now, was there an idea that you thought of, doing one of the killings that you thought, nah, that's a bit too much?
I would say no. Some of them, you know, like especially Dr. Wash and stuff, it was like, just like, what are people's reactions to this? We did have a couple kills that I had in my mind that Julie, she plays Blanche, the evil blonde woman. She's like my co-producer. There was a couple where she's like, no, we're not doing that. Like, it's just, like, that's going too far. And then there's a couple where it's like, should we do that? And even in part two, it's, I think like horror movie fans have seen so much that I think it's almost impossible to kind of go too far. But there are some, like, the big thing is we didn't want to make Mildred seem like a bad guy, even though what she's doing is horrible, but we still want people to cheer for her in a way.
Yeah.
So if it kind of went too far and made her look like evil, then people would be like, oh, like, it would kind of ruin it, because she's a very kind of happy, fun character. And if we just took her down a different path, it would change the movie. So I don't think we went too far with any of them. You know, we've been accused online of, you know, people saying that we're evil and we should go to jail and all this stuff for what we depicted, which is ridiculous, because obviously it's not real. And quite honestly, the effects aren't even that realistic. So I don't see how people could think it's that bad. You know, like, it's obviously an indie movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's some people just take everything far too seriously, I think. But it's, I mean, I really, some of them were absolutely brilliant. I especially liked the bit with the, where she kills the rock star thing and then plays golf.
Yeah, that gets referenced quite a bit.
I didn't quite tweak straight away, which was a shock for me. So I sat there, I was like, when she was playing golf, I was like, what is she using? And then when zoomed in and done the shot, and I sat there, I was like, oh, okay. And it's sort of, it's at a moment, the sort of realization that me personally just went, ow. But it's sort of, it's, and I could see a lot of people doing that sort of, especially when you get to that realization, if you don't sort of clock straight away to sort of, that sort of, especially for the male audience, I'd say, for a lot of them to sort of wincing or sort of having that sort of feeling of the pain area. But it's just, I love, I love all it. It's the little aspect in it as well. The, what I found funny was the bits that you don't expect, like the comedy aspect of it. When my main one for me is when she throws the knife when she's in the forest and it hits her, and it's just like, well, that normally worked in the movies. And I was like, that's what I love, is that's what I've always wanted from a film, is the fact that that sort of real life aspect to it, because you don't see it in a lot of horror films. And it's sort of like, you wouldn't go into a dark room without turning the light on. You don't always get by bullseyes when you throw things at people. And to have that in this as a comedy aspect as well, I think was very, very well done.
And it's kind of funny too, that because the movie itself is so like unrealistic, you know, like weapons magically appear, like it's so like unrealistic. But at the same time, we kind of poke fun at how unrealistic other movies are. It's like, yeah, if you threw a knife at someone, it probably would just hit them and not do anything. So we kind of go the opposite way with that. So you really never know what to expect. It's, it kind of goes against the tropes, but at the same time, it kind of just, it's like, have to like follow a story, a set story, that the story just kind of, we can do whatever crazy thing we want. It kind of makes it fun.
I did like the bit where when she's chasing the two of them, one gets pushed over, and she's like, oh, look, an axe. Who would have thought there'd be an axe laying around here? That's brilliant. It's really good.
Yeah, as I said, that's what I loved about it. It was the, like you said, it was the sort of obvious poke for anyone that's watched horror films at other horror films as well, but still made it a comical thing without actually sort of actually having digged at them properly. And I think, as I said, I think everything apart about this is just, it's hilarious as well for a start, with certain bits in it, because it's the comedy bits in it that appear in it, you don't expect them to appear. Like the one that stands out for me is just after she kills the sister and her friend, and she bumps into, I don't know if it's her brother-in-law or whatever, and they sort of think it's a bit, like they get a bit sort of nervous whether or not they should shake or hug, and sort of goes, oh, can I have 10 minutes before you call the police? And it's just sort of that sort of that awkward conversation. I was just like, I know people that are like that without the aspects of murder.
Yeah, it just kind of shows, it's just like, yeah, what would you do if you just murdered someone and then someone that you have no problem with kind of stumbles upon you? Do you shake their hand and walk away? Do you give them a hug? It's like, what do you do? It's kind of an awkward situation. And so I do like the fact that, you know, Mildred is very good at what she does, right? She's just like an unstoppable killing machine, but she still doesn't quite have it figured out. And there's even part in one, part two that we shot where, I won't ruin it, but she's trying to kill some guy and she's hiding on him, but he walks in and just sees her like hiding there, and he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I was trying to hide and then pop up and scare you like they do in the movies. And he's like, well, you think I wouldn't see you sitting right there? And she's like, yeah, I guess so. So it's kind of like, you know, she's still getting used to what she's doing, and sometimes it doesn't quite work out well, because, you know, not everything goes perfectly like a Jason movie where he can always sneak up on you. It's like, sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah, no, I mean, I recommend. I think the whole film works really well. It's really good. I've got to say, I love the song at the end.
Oh, the Casually Suicidal, yeah.
Casually Suicidal, that is brilliant. Is it something that was already in existence, or was it written specially for it, or?
No, like Elizabeth, who plays Mildred, I'm pretty sure she wrote that, I think, before I even met her. She released it as a video on her YouTube channel, and it was quite popular. Oh. And then I can't remember if she showed it to me or I saw it. Somehow we made the connection that we should put that in the movie. And yeah, it absolutely fit perfectly. And she even made a new music video with, you know, shots from the movie in the new video. And yeah, we get complimented that a lot, because yeah, it's such a catchy song, and it's like, yeah, like that's all Elizabeth. She did that herself.
It's such a great song, but it's so odd, so quirky. It's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, I think originally the scene where she kills her old boyfriend with the ukulele.
Yeah.
Originally, I can't remember if we shot it or we were going to, but originally she was going to sit there and like play the song, but it ended up it was way too long, so we cut that out and just had her kill them with the ukulele. But yeah, that song, it definitely captures the vibe of the movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you said you're working on, you just finished working on part two of Grotesque.
Yeah.
What else have you got coming up?
We got a lot coming up. That's kind of the main big one that we need to raise some more money to finish post-production, and we have to shoot one more day. There's kind of like we did with the first movie. There's just little things that we missed or have to redo, so we'll probably have to shoot one more day. And so we have that, and then we also have I'm Haunted 2 coming out, which strangely enough, the first I'm Haunted, we released it as like a web series and a whole
Yeah.
bunch of like short episodes. And then, honestly, it wasn't that popular on YouTube. It was more a fun thing we did on the side.
Huh.
But I was like, you know what? I have all this footage, so I combined it and then cut it down into like a, regular length, feature length movie and released it like that. And for some reason, it like exploded in popularity. I think it's probably my most successful film for whatever reason. I'm not even a found footage fan, but apparently there's a lot of them out there because everyone loves this movie. And I was like, you know what? Like we made it dirt cheap really quickly for fun. So I was like, let's do another one. So we went out and we shot part two, that we're almost finished shooting. It's another one we got to do a bit more. So probably in a week or two, we're going to be launching a crowdfunding just to get enough money to finish that one so we could release it. And we're also about 80% finished shooting a movie called Horror Show, which is the first one. I'm shooting it on my phone. It's kind of an experiment to see how that looks. And then we're kind of like adding a filter to it to make it look like an old 70s like 16 millimeter film.
Yeah.
That one's got a killer. We got this like big guy in a costume with a skull mask and like long black hair. And yeah, we got some crazy effect. It's more along the lines of Grotesque, maybe not as funny, but it's kind of along that kind of crazy slasher angle. So yeah, we got those three that are, almost finished that we're kind of ho be releasing next year. And then I can't announce it yet, but we have the one that we're shooting next summer. It's kind of a bigger project. I'm working on the script now. One of these days I'll kind of announce it on social media. So yeah, we do have a bunch of things coming out that I'm sure people will be quite excited about and they're going to love when they're finally released.
Ah, sounds good. Sounds good. I've got to ask, did you put Grotesque into any I can't remember the word I'm looking for
Film
now.
festivals.
Film festivals, that's the word. Thank you.
It might have been in one. I'm not a film festival kind of guy. I like kind of having my control over it. And I get approached by them all the time, but in my opinion, it's like you basically have to pay an entry fee for them
Yeah.
to maybe show your movie, and they could decide whether or not to show it, and then they keep your money.
Yeah.
Whereas we had two screenings of the movie here in Edmonton. Where we could fill a big theater and like we rent it and then keep all the money for ourselves because we got to repay the cost of the movie. And then we could sell our own merchandise and we can kind of run our own show. And so I think that's a way better way to go than basically we need someone else's permission to show it. So I mean I'm not like there are some good film festivals and stuff, but I like kind of having control over my own movies where I release them when I want and not, we got this distributor and they want to change the artwork and they want to do this and that and all of a sudden it's like outside of my control.
We know that really well. There was a film in the Romford Film Festival year before last, and it was excellent, and it was picked up by a distributor, and they changed the name of it and the artwork of it and released it in America, and everyone slated it because they were expecting something from the film that wasn't in the film because of the artwork and the way it was promoted.
Yeah, we had like one of our films. They signed with a distributor, and then they basically demanded that we film more stuff because they wanted to change a story that we had to pay for. So
Yeah.
we shot more stuff, and then they re-edited themselves, and it kind of didn't make sense anymore. And
Yeah.
then basically like they kept making all these promises, and finally we gave up because months and a couple of years went by, and we hear nothing. And all of a sudden we get a message from one of the actors, and he's like, I think I saw the movie in Walmart, but it was like, it was called something else. And it's like, yeah, sure enough, they like changed the title, gave a different artwork that made it look like a zombie movie, which it wasn't. Right. And then they released it without even telling us. And it's like, so it's like with Grotesque, it's like, that's the picture we wanted. The back of the DVD box that we're selling, that's what we wanted. It's, yeah. You know, we released it on channels that we decide. And because it's like, you know, we put so much effort into this. We don't want someone that doesn't have like a big stake in it, that has a different creative vision. Like, yeah, it's not fair to indie artists.
Right. So if people want to go and watch the, people who are listening want to go and watch the anthology film and Grotesque, is it, you know, they're available on different platforms and that. Where are they all available?
Well, Grotesque is available if you're in North America. Tubi is a good place to watch it. If you're in the UK, it's available on Amazon. And it's also on a platform called Reveal. It's probably on 10 or 12 different platforms. I can't remember off the top of my head. If you Google the movie, look it up, it'll come up somewhere. But those are the main ones to find it. And the anthology is fairly new. We only released it, you know, a month or so ago. So it's still waiting to go live. But I believe in the US and the UK, it's on Amazon. And it's also on that Reveal, R-E-V-E-E-L.
Right.
Okay. It's been picked up by other ones that it'll be in the future, but it could be another couple months.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool. Well, we really enjoyed watching the two films. They were really good. Really good fun. Good to talk to you. Certainly looking forward to seeing what you come out with next and what the new stuff is going to be like. And I hope everything goes well for you and you keep making films for long, long times.
Well, thank you very much. As long as people keep liking them, we'll keep making them.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us. To everybody out there, I will put some links and things up to stuff about Brandon and Higher Universe and all that kind of thing. Check it all out. Check out their films and you know, let them know you're watching and subscribe to their channels and things like that and keep them going.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you having me on.
Good to have you on here. Thank you very much. See you all later. Bye. Bye. Right. So there we go. That's the interview with Brandon Reines. I'd like to thank him for joining us. And thank you, Scott, despite the illnesses and things.
Yeah, I was going to say thank you to Brandon for giving us the opportunity to watch your films.
Yes, definitely.
But yeah, no, I'm glad that we could do this as a sort of round up just to sort of give us a bit of time to get back to normal.
Yeah. So, yes, we will be back in the new year. Maybe with a different look on some different things, but we will be back in some fight.
We're going to be doing it upside down.
Some shape or form or whatever. And like that. Until then. Look after yourselves and each other and everybody else in the world. And everything and stuff. So, yeah. And if you want to send us messages about anything, then you can do so. If there are films you would like us to review for the coming year, please contact us and let us know, whether they be your own or other people's. And we will do our best to do everything the way we can.
Yes.
So until the new year, enjoy yourselves over Christmas and everything, and we will see you again.
So
bye.
The Sci-Fora Film Podcast.